Today is Palm and Passion Sunday, and it marks the beginning of Holy Week. So Palm Sunday, as the children brought in the palm leaves, it was when Jesus came into Jerusalem, seemingly triumphally. People were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, waving palm branches. That's a sign of a king entering Jerusalem. But unbeknownst to all the people, it marked the beginning of Jesus' passion, or in other words, his suffering. And so he was coming into Jerusalem seemingly triumphantly, but in order to enter his period of suffering. And that is what we are commemorating today, is that beginning of Holy Week. As many of you know, our mission team is in Cuba right now. They did arrive safely, and they've been having a very good experience as far as we know. For their trip, we asked support from all of you, and the response was incredible. Our children prepared all these backpacks full of school supplies. I know our high C's got a lot of running shoes and whatnot, and many of you contributed items enough to fill a whole suitcase for each member of the team, and then cash amounts that just really blew our minds and exceeded what we asked for. Almost $30,000 collectively from our KSM and ESM. I reflected on what all this means. The amount of support that we receive tells me this. There is a real desire for goodness in this world. You were inspired by people who simply wanted to go to serve. I mean, every team member, they paid for their own expenses, their airfare, plus the expenses that they will incur living there. And so then you, in turn, wanted to support that desire to do good. There was no ulterior motive, nothing suspicious, so you gave generously. All of this tells me that people are wired for goodness. We are created to do good acts for one another. Seeing pure goodness in others inspires us and makes us want to do good as well. I really believe that doing good is what makes us most human. Doing good things here and there, it feels good. But what about doing good every day as who you are? Maybe even as your job. That notion almost sounds silly in this world. You know, when I was younger, many people wanted to do good in this world. There were many things for young people to do. I remember there's all these opportunities. Things like Service Corps or extended volunteering opportunities. You know, a whole generation from the 60s onward was inspired by John F. Kennedy's speech. You know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I remember even myself in my university days, and I cannot believe how long ago that is now. It just seems like yesterday, right, guys? I had a summer job at a big company, Young and Shepherd, so I'd take the subway and go there. But here's what I did. At that same summer, I became, we started this new organization. I got really involved in, there was like a Korean student movement to really help those who are trying to adjust here and all that stuff. And I got really inspired by that too. So what I do is I wake up really early, I take the subway early, and I get to work the office very early, like 7:30 a.m., before anyone else. And so for about an hour, hour and a half, I'm just cranking away doing that community work. But the people at work, they didn't know that. They thought, man, this guy has incredible work ethic, right? He's amazing. And I mean, I worked hard, too. I try to do the best I can. And so I did. But, I mean, that's the kind of... That's what literally got me out of bed. It wasn't the job itself, but it was to do this kind of stuff for the community. But these days, I don't know, that kind of idealism, I sense is it's pretty dead now when I look around. And I feel bad in so many ways. I feel that when our young people see the world now, what they see is a world full of competition and self-interest. They see opposite of goodness. They see a world where you have to fight for every scrap that you can get. They see meanness, greed, will to power. And so heart gets jaded. It becomes cynical. It doubts the possibility of real goodness in this world. And so they look out simply for what's best for them. But this lack of goodness, I really think, is causing so many issues. So many people struggling with mental health issues, a lack of meaning, just no joy in life. And I think a huge reason for this is they see no motivation to do good in this world. There's nothing beyond themselves to live for. We read a passage from Isaiah today. Isaiah was a prophet to Israel. Now, Israel was set apart to do good. That's how they became a nation. They made a covenant with God, and they were set apart to do good and to be a blessing to this world, to the other nations. They were called to live a new way, the way of God's goodness. But the thing is, they lived in the real world. They were a small country surrounded by powerful neighbors. In Israel, they experienced slavery in Egypt. They were under the thumb of the Philistines. Half of the kingdom, they went through forced assimilation by the Assyrians. And then in the southern half, its leaders were taken over. They were deported to Babylon and forced to live as exiles there. I mean, they experienced the lack of goodness firsthand. So they had to decide, would they give up on their unique identity and just become like other nations? Or would they somehow remain distinct as the people of God? Would they resign themselves to the world as they experienced, which is a world without goodness? Or would they somehow reinterpret their experiences of suffering and maintain faith in God's goodness? Isaiah was a prophet during these difficult times. I mean, his people had been crushed by Babylon. They were living in exile, uprooted from everything that they knew. They experienced the raw power of a mighty nation, as well as the humiliation, indignity, and powerlessness. And this is how one psalmist describes it. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They had difficult questions in their hearts. In this situation, Isaiah saw a new meaning in their suffering. The suffering they were going through, it was not meaningless. Isaiah interpreted their weakness not as something to be ashamed of or run away from or try to get rid of. But no, their weakness was the very means through which God was doing something new. That is the vision Isaiah had. And God gave Isaiah a vision of this servant. We don't know exactly who this servant is, but in a way, this servant represents Israel and represents how they are supposed to take on and interpret their suffering. So today's passage is one of the four servant songs that appear in Isaiah. And so in today's passage, we see the purpose of this servant. The Lord God has given me a trained tongue that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. The purpose of the servant is to do good for the weary, to lift them up with an encouraging word. But the servant runs into a big challenge. The Lord God has opened my ear, but I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. In trying to do good, the servant runs into vile opposition. They strike him. They pull his beard. It's a form of indignity. They spit on him and insult him. He was trying to do good. And what he gets is humiliation and insult. But in that persecution, in that suffering, the servant discovers something. And that is this. The Lord God helps me. And again later, it is the Lord God who helps me. In the suffering of his persecution, he discovers the presence and power of God. You know, when I look at this world, it often seems like a world without God. People look at all the evil and suffering in this world as evidence that there is no God. Right? If there is a God, why does he allow such evil and suffering to exist? I mean, I can see why people think that. God is definitely not present in the evil and sin of this world. But there is one place God has chosen to be, and that is with those who suffer for doing good. God has chosen to be present there. When those who try to do good suffer for it, God is there. That is what Jesus meant when he said this beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are persecuted for the sake of good will taste the kingdom of heaven. They will be in the presence of God. On Passion Sunday, we reflect on the suffering of Jesus. Jesus' life took on the shape of this servant. That's why the lectionary chooses this passage on Passion Sunday. Jesus did good. He loved this world. But the world did not love Jesus. People did not like what Jesus did. It made them very uncomfortable. It exposed their hypocrisy and the emptiness of their words. So they opposed Jesus. They began plotting against him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what Jesus experienced. Then Jesus went with them, his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." Can you feel the anguish in Jesus' heart? He did not want the suffering that was about to come. He even asked if it's possible for that cup to pass him by. But something happened to him during that prayer. He experienced the fullness of the power of God. He experienced the help of God. I think that is what allowed him to say, "Yet not as I will, but you will." After this experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was able to bear his suffering all the way up to the cross. Jesus suffered persecution not in spite of his righteousness, but because of it. He suffered persecution because he was trying to do good. And I realize how twisted our world is. That if you try to do good, you will suffer persecution. I think that is a promise and guarantee you can rely on. If you try to do good, you will be persecuted. People will not pat you on the back and say, "Good job." They'll start to look at you funny. They'll think you are strange. And then they'll start to look for ways to take you down. And they'll look for any reason to tear you apart. That is why, even in areas like politics and whatever, good people, they don't want to stand up anymore for office, or they don't want to put themselves forward because the world is so vicious. And it's to the point where doing good is seen as a bad thing now. I mean, one of the first things that the U.S. government did recently was cut off funding for the United States Agency for International Development. And they're gloating about it. I mean, the U.S. AID, they provide help for millions of vulnerable people around the world. People who cannot get help otherwise. People with AIDS and all sorts of projects that are needed. And they attack funding for churches that are providing shelter and help for refugees. And what kind of world are we living in where you're gloating about this? This is becoming a dark and cold world. But my friends, it's in these times we need to restore our thirst for righteousness. We have to rekindle our desire for good. And we need to overcome the fear of doing good. Now is not the time to keep your head in the sand. to keep your head down and just stay in your lane? Now is the time to seek the good that God desires. God calls you to do good. It is not the easy path. Jesus' death on the cross is evidence of that, my friends. But it is the only way that leads to life. Do you want to find meaning in life? Then do good for others. Do good and seek righteousness, right living. And ask God for the strength to take on the righteous suffering that will come your way. This is the whole point of walking with Jesus. I don't know. Christianity has such a bad name these days. They have no clue what following Jesus is really about. They think it's the key to getting power for yourself. They have no idea. Following Jesus is taking up your cross and willing to walk with him to the cross, willing to take on the suffering for doing good. But don't worry, my friends, it's not a journey you take by yourself. In that suffering, you will experience the presence and power of God. You will not be alone. God will be with you. Believe that. And take that journey with Jesus to the cross.